Today's daf is Yom Daf Nun Hey. We left off on Daf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. Today we're going to talk about the sprinkling of the dam. We know that there's supposed to be achas lamala v'sheva lamata with each of the sprinklings. So first the Gemara is going to detail some of the details of how he would position his hand when he sprinkles the dam, exactly where he's aiming for when the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the dam, l'fnai v'lefnim. The Gemara is also going to discuss the source that we know of achas lamala. How do we know that he has to sprinkle one time upward by the par, because the pasuk by the par only talks about sheva lamata, and we're also going to try to find the source of how we know that there's sheva lamata by the sa'ir, because by the sa'ir it only says about the achas lamala, it doesn't say explicitly about the sheva lamata, so we're going to derive the source for each one. The Gemara is then going to get into how the counting would work. Was it with the achas and achas v'achas, or maybe there was another way to count it out, and we're going to give two reasons why we recount the first hazah each time. We don't just say achas and then achas shayim shalosh. We do achas v'achas, achas v'shayim. Why do we have to recount that original achas over and over again? The Gemara is going to have two deos as to why we do that with a nafka mina between them. And toward the end of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to elaborate on the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we never rely on written signs. If we have to distinguish between two things, we can't just label them and have a sign that says this stand in the Heichal is for the blood of the Sayyir and this stand is for the blood of the Par, and assume that no one's going to get confused and they're never going to get mixed up because everybody reads signs. We do not rely on signs. That's both in regards to the stands that held the blood in the Heichal as well as the shofaros that held the money in the Beis HaMikdash for the various karbanos. And the Gemara is going to elaborate on all the different shofaros and what their function was. And toward the end of the daf, we're going to get into the sugya of Breira. See, it's a little bit of a hemshech. The Gemara is going to start a question on the top of Nun Hey Amud Beis. The question's not going to be over till the middle of Nun Vav Amud Beis. But that's going to bring us through the sugya of Breira for a little while. So we'll see if we get into Breira today or not, but it's obviously a major shas sugya. So we are holding again at the bottom line of Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Natal Sadami Misha Memarispo. So the Mishnah had said the Kohen Gadol now comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he takes the blood from the person who was mixing the blood to make sure that it didn't congeal, and then he goes back to the Makom Shenichnas. He goes back into, now he's taking the Dam Apar at this point. He goes back into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he sprinkles. He does all the sprinkling. So we said that when he does the sprinkling, he does it kim matzlif. We said that the Mishnah said that it's not that he does the lashon was. That loy miskaven lahazos lo lamala v'lo lamata ela kematzlif. He did not purposely sprinkle lamala or lamata. Rather, it was kematzlif. So says the Gemara, my kematzlif. What does kematzlif mean? So machvi Rabbi Yehuda kimin gadona, like a whip. He would move his finger in like a whipping motion upward or downward. So tanukshu maza enu maza ala kaporis ala kenegid Oviyoshel kaporis. When he would sprinkle the dam, it wouldn't be directly on the kaporis, the covering of the aron. He wouldn't actually dirty the aron with the dam, but it was connected oviyoshel kaporis. It was across from the side of the kaporis. It was the blood would not actually touch the kaporis. Kshu mazal lemala mitzadid yad lemata. Kshu mazal lemata mitzadid yad lemala. When he would sprinkle the dam in an upward motion, the top of his hand was facing down, meaning his palm was facing up, and then he would sprinkle with his finger, flick his finger upward. When he would sprinkle in the downward motion, his palm was facing down, the top of his hand was facing up, and he would flick his finger in a downward motion. So, minanimili, how do we know that this is true? How do we know that what's true? So says Rashi, this is not going on this last line that we said of which direction he would face his hand. The minanimili is, how do we know that he's not maza ala kapores, those are the achas shalmala, the par, and the achas shalmala, the soyer. How do I know that it's not literally al gag ha-kaporas? That's what we want to know. How do I know that it's not supposed to touch the kaporas? So Amar Avacha bar Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Kapera Amar Kra, because the pasuk says Vihiza Oso Ala Kapores Vilifneha Kapores. So Lo Yamar Lamata, so because it says Visa, it says Ala Kapores and Lifneha Kapores, and we're going to see soon that we compare Al to Lifnei. That just like Lifnei means not touching, so we're going to say that Al also means not literally on, not literally touching the Kapores. Lo Yamar Lamata Besayer De Lo Tzarich De Gamar Mimata De Par Lamanemar. It shouldn't have to say about sprinkling downward by the sa'ir, because we learn it out anyway from the sprinkling of the par. Why does Itaka say it? As Rashi elaborates over here, very important Rashi, to explain what's going on over here. Lo yomar v'lifnei ha-kaporis. It didn't have to say the phrase v'lifnei ha-kaporis at all. Dahainu l'mata desar. The phrase v'lifnei ha-kaporis is the phrase that's used by the dam ha-sa'ir to explain that we are sprinkling downward. D'chsiv be, because it already says v'hizo sa'al ha-kaporis, I'm sorry, it says about the dam ha-sa'ir, v'hizo sa'al ha-kaporis, v'lifnei ha-kaporis, the lo tzarich. I don't need that phrase, the sof-sof, gamar mimata depar, because anyway, I already know what I'm supposed to do with the dam of the sa'ir, from the fact that by the par it says I'm supposed to sprinkle downward. Sharei lo pirish bo, kama ha-za'os, v'alfinu le'l kaman mimata depar. The pasuk by the dam ha-sa'ir never says how many times to sprinkle downward. It only says it by the par to sprinkle seven times downward. So anyway, memela, I have to learn the number of times that I sprinkle downward from the dama par anyway. Where it says explicitly by the dama par that it's seven times. So v'kivin to sof sof gamar minei. If anyway, I'm going to have to learn the number of times that I sprinkle downward from the dama par, so lishto kramine. Don't tell me anything about the dama sayer, about the sprinkling downward of the dama sayer. Veligmara lekula milsa, and I'll be able to mata the sar mimata the par, and I'll learn the entire concept of sprinkling downward by the sayer from the sprinkling downward by the par. If anyway I have to learn from the par the number of times that I do it, why can't the ikur chiyuv be learned from the dama par anyway? Because after all, it's explicit in the pasuk that whatever I do by the par, I do by the sar, because the pasuk says va'asa estamo kasher asa l'dama par. It says by the sar that you do with this blood what you did by the dama par. So why does it have to say explicitly by the sar that I sprinkle the blood downward? Just say that it does like you do by the dama par, and I'll know that by the dama par I sprinkle seven times downward. So by the dama sar I do the same thing. The Bishlama Lamaladi Day Itzrich, I understand why I need to be told by the Dama Sayer that I sprinkle upward, the Mefurish Bawachas, because it's only by the Sayer that it says explicitly that it's only one time upward. It never says that by the Par. So I need that to be written by the Sayer, Dixiv Izo Sal Kaporas, Va Oso Chada, because it says Vizo Oso. It doesn't say the word Achas, but it says Oso, which is singular, and that's how I know that it's one. Chada Mashma, Ubimala de Par, Lo Pirish Achas, whereas by the Par, sprinkling upward never said that it's only one time. So that part I get. Why by the sari that it has to talk about the sprinkling upward? That makes sense because it doesn't say that by the par that you need only one sprinkling upward. But the fact they have to sprinkle seven times downward, anyway, the number seven I'm only going to learn from the dama par. So why can't I just learn the entire chiyuv of sprinkling downward from the dama par? So the Gemara is pointing out that this is an entirely extra phrase that we have in the pasuk by the dama sayer. What's this extra phrase doing here? It's coming to tell me that we can compare the chiyuv of al hakapores to the chiyuv of lifnei hakapores. Al is the lamala, lifnei is the lamata. Ma lifnei delav al, just like lifnei means that it's not actually touching the kapores. Af al delav al. So to ala kaporis also means that it's not touching the kaporis. So that's how we know that the dam, when it's sprinkled, never actually touches the kaporis. Even though the pasuk says ala kaporis, we have this extra phrase that teaches us that al and lifnei are linked to each other. Says Mar Adraba, lo yomer lemala bepar, delo tzarech degamer mala desayir. Let the pasuk never tell me about sprinkling upward by the par, because that's really unnecessary. I could learn that from the fact that I sprinkle upward by the sayer. Lomer ne'amar, why does it taka say it by the par that you have to sprinkle ala kaporis? La kushe lifnei la'al. Maybe by the par it's teaching me that I'm supposed to link lifnei kaporis to ala kaporis, but in the opposite way. Ma'al al mamish, just like al means on and touching, af lifnei al mamish. Maybe therefore we should learn that lifnei also means al mamish, that it should be on and touching. So how do I know that it's teaching me the opposite, that al is like lifnei, and not that lifnei is like al? So how am I? So says the Gemara, if we're going to use the extra phrase about the sprinkling downward by the sar to teach me this hekish of lifnei ta'al, so I have what to do with the extra phrase of lemala by the par. I mean, if I'm using the phrase that teaches me to sprinkle downward by the sar to teach me this link between lifnei and al, that it shouldn't touch the kaparis, I would still have what to do with the phrase of lemala by the par. But if we're the opposite, if I were using the phrase of lemala by par to teach me the link between lifnei and al, I would have nothing to do with the phrase of lemata by the sar. So what am I going to do with the phrase of lemala by the par? Lemala de par mi by lechatan de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I would still use the lemala de par to teach me what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught. De tana de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov al pnei kaporis kedma. The full phrase is al pnei kaporis kedma ze bneiav. That teaches us that whenever the word pnei is used, it always means toward the east. So that's a valuable lesson that's taught in general that we could use all over Tanakh. So that's something that I could do with the pasuk that tells me sprinkling upward by the par. So if I use the pasuk of sprinkling downward by the sire to teach the link between the pnei and al, I still have what to do with the phrase in the pasuk that teaches me about sprinkling upward by the par. Eliyamr the malad de par la akushe. But if you're going to use the phrase that teaches me about sprinkling upward by the par to teach me the link between lifnei and al, lemata de sar lemayasa, well then I'll have nothing to do with the extra phrase of that teaches me the sprinkling downward of the sayer. So that's how we know that the link between lifnei and al is derived from the lemata de sayer, and therefore the link between lifnei and al teaches me that it does not, that none of the sprinklings touch the actual kaporis. And the extra phrase of ala kaporis, that al pnei kaporis that we have by the dama par, teaches a totally separate issue, that whenever you have the word pnei, it always means eastward. Pnei means forward, in front of, and in general, you look at old maps and you look at the way way Chazal always deal with directions. So we're used to thinking of things: north is always up, north is always forward. But in older maps, and certainly in the way Chazal saw it, east was always up on the map. That was the way they oriented themselves, and that's a source in the Torah right here. Pnei is Mizrach. Pnei is always the forward, is always to the east. Tan Rabbanan, v'hizo ala kaporis v'lefnei kaporis. So the Braisa says you sprinkle it ala kaporis and lefnei kaporis. Lemanu kama lemala besayir achas lemata besayir in yodea kama. It says beferish in the pasuk when it talks about the dama sayir. Pasuk says that asa es domo kashara sala dama par v'hizo oso ala kaporis, that it's sprinkled oso singular once upward, and lefnei kaporis, but it doesn't give me a number. It doesn't tell me how many times downward. Lefnei kaporis means downward, but it doesn't tell me how many times. So lemata b'sar en yodea kama. So we already know how we're going to learn it, as we've already pointed out. Rashi already foreshadowed this for us, that we're going to learn it from the Dama Par, where it does say explicitly, but the Gemara is just going to flesh it all out of how we know that we necessarily learn it from the Dama Par. Hare nidan. So maybe let's see what we can compare the sprinkling downward by the sayer to. Nemru dam lemata bepar, v'nemru dam lemata besayer. We're told to sprinkle the dam downward by the par, and we're told to sprinkle the dam downward by the sayer. Great! Malamata bepar sheva, just like by the par, we know it's supposed to be seven times, because that's explicit in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'lefnei kaporis yaze sheva pa'amim min adam be'etzba'o." By the dama par, sa'af lamata besayer sheva. So great! So now we know that when it comes to sprinkling the dama sayer downward, it's also seven times. or maybe not. O kol chol daruch zu, or maybe we should darshan the following. Nemru damim lemala b'sayir, v'nemru damim lemata b'sayir. We know we sprinkle the dam b'sayir upwards, and we know we sprinkle the dam b'sayir downwards. So mala b'sayir achas, af lemata b'sayir achas. Maybe the drasha should go that just like we know explicitly in the pasuk that you sprinkle the dam b'sayir upwards only one time, so maybe the sprinkling the dam b'sayir downwards is also only one time. Who says that we should learn it from the sprinkling downward of the Dama Par? Maybe I should learn the sprinkling downward of the Dama Sayer from the sprinkling upward of the Dama Sayer. That it's one time. So says Mar Nira Lemidome. Well, what's the more logical comparison? The sprinkling downward of the Dama Sayer to the sprinkling upward of the Dama Sayer, or the sprinkling downward of the Dama Sayer to the sprinkling downward of the Dama Par? So Nira Lemidome, done in Mata Mimata, vein done in Mata Lamala. Well, we would certainly make, it seems to make more sense to learn out something that's downward from something else that's downward, rather than learn that which is downward from that which is upward. Says Gemara, no, Adrava, I could give you the opposite logic. Done in gufo mi gufo, vein done in gufo me alma. I want to know what to do with the Dama Sayer when I'm sprinkling downward. Isn't the Dama Sayer the best place to look? If I have a source within Dama Sayer, isn't that a better place to look than to Mimer Chaktavi Lachma, I'm going to go to the Dama Par to figure out what to do with the Dama Sayer? So says Gemara, Tamalomar, the pasuk says that we do with the blood like we do with the dama par. Pasuk didn't have to say like you did with the dama par. What's kasharasa teaching me? That everything you do with the dama par, you do the same with the dama sayir. And therefore, just like the dama par is sprinkled downward seven times, so to the dama sayir is sprinkled downward seven times. So lemanu kamalamata bepar. So clearly now, where we are now in terms of our drashas, is we know that you're supposed to sprinkle downward both by the par and the sa'ir seven times. I also know how many times you're supposed to sprinkle upward by the sa'ir, but it doesn't say how many times to sprinkle upward by the par. That it doesn't say in the pasuk. Vareini dan. So let's figure it out. Nemru dam lemala b'sayir, nemru dam lemala b'par. I know I sprinkle dam of the sayir upward, and I know I sprinkle dam of the par upward. Mala mala b'sayir achas, haf lemala b'par achas. So just like sprinkling the dam of sayir upward is once, so too sprinkling the dam of the par upward is once. Or maybe you could darshan the other way. I know I sprinkle the dama par downward seven times, so maybe if I'm trying to figure out how many times to sprinkle it upward, I should look at that and sprinkle it seven times upward. So nir lemidome, which comparison is the more logical comparison? To compare sprinkling upward of the dama par to upward of the dama sayer, or upward of the dama par to downward of the dama par? So done in malami mala. We learn upward from upward, we don't learn upward from downward. Says Mar Adraba, same point we made before. I could argue equally compelling logic in the other direction. Done in gufo mi gufo, vein done in gufo me alma. I want to know what to do with the dama par when I'm sprinkling it upward, so I should look at other dama par. Why would I go look at dama sayir? Says Mar Tamalomer va'asas dama kasherasa. Shein Tamalomer kasherasa. Why does the pasuk say kasherasa that I do with the dama sayir exactly what I did with the dama par? Umat Tamalomer kasherasa. Shu kol Yosef Shavos, teach me that everything you do with the Dama the Sayer should mirror the Dama Par. And therefore, Kshem Shalamata Bepar Sheva, Kach Lamata Besar Sheva, just like it's explicit in the pasuk that the Dama Par is sprinkled downward seven times, so to the Dama Sayer is sprinkled downward seven times, Ukshem Shalamala Besar Achas, Kach Lamala Bepar Achas, just like it's pretty much explicit in the pasuk that the Dama Sayer is sprinkled upward once, so to the Dama Par is sprinkled upward once. Great. So now that they're doing the sprinkling, they count it out. Achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim. The Mishnah went through the whole count. So says Gemara Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa that has two opinions of how the count went. The first one is achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chamish, achas v'sheish, achas v'sheva. The first time they would sprinkle up, they would count achas, then each time they sprinkle down was achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh, etc. Divra Meir, that's Rameir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said a little bit different. Achas, he'd sprinkle upward and count achas, then downward achas v'achas, but then not achas v'shtayim, but shtayim v'achas, shalosh v'achas, arba v'achas, chamesh v'achas, sheish v'achas, sheva v'achas. Meaning he would say first the number of the what number of downward sprinkling is up to before he repeats the achas relating to the upward sprinkling. That is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So says Gemara v'lo pligi, and it's not really a machlokas. Marki asrei umarki asrei. Each one was saying the way that they would normally count in their places. Rashi points out ba'aseh ramer monin minyan klal tchila v'achar kach prat. In Rameir's place, they would always say, like we do, they would say like 23, 35. They would first say the klal, they would first say the large number and then the smaller number. Kigon esrim v'achas esrim v'shtayim u'basid Rabbi Yehuda piri tchila shtayim v'esrim sholosh prat tchila shtayim v'esrim sholosh v'esrim. In Rabbi Yehuda's place, the minhag was that they would count count the smaller number first. They would say shtayim v'esrim if they wanted to say 22. So it'd be like saying 220. So we don't talk like that in English, but that's the way they would count it in Rabbi Yehuda's place. So, but the bottom line is, meaning either one is saying, just follow the minhag ha'makom of how to count it. You should count the way a normal person would count. So whatever the minhag was in Yerushalayim, the stama is what they would do, is how they would actually count it. In the Shelis Yaivitz, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, tshuva Kufla Mates, where he's not sure, do you have to count achas for shtayim? What if you do aleph? Aleph ubeis, aleph aleph, aleph ubeis, aleph gimel. Can you just use letters of the aleph beis? Does this have to be actual numbers? Do you have to actually say achas? Why is he talking about this? Why? Who asked Rabbi Yaakov Emden a shaila about how the kohen gadol is allowed to count the aleph? Let the kohen gadol just say achas. Now the shaila that he was dealing with was by Sfira Sa'omer. If a person, comes to shul on the night of Lag BaOmer and says, "Oh, tonight's Lag BaOmer," and he hasn't davened marav or counted Sfira yet, now is it too late? Can he count Sfira? He didn't say that it's he didn't count it out with the number that it's, nor with the weeks, obviously. He didn't say 33 days of the year. He said lag. He just said lamed gimel. Today is lamed gimel ba'omer. So is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah? Is just saying the Hebrew letters a fulfillment of the minoy? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it's not only a nafkamina for Sfira Sa'omer, it's also a nafkamina for the counting of the Kohen Gadol with his achas and achas v'achas. So he discusses this issue in that tshuva, and he's done in the comment of the Shiari Knesset HaGadola, who says by Sfira Sa'omer that if you say Lag Ba'omer, you're Yotze, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden disagree. The Shiari Knesset HaGadola says it's not even a suffix, it's Vada you're Yotze. The Get Pashut holds that you're Yotze de Chavaso, but L'chora, we don't paskin like that. The Chak Yaakov in the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Simtav Peites says that we would count again B'li Bracha, and that's with the Bir Alacha Paskins as well. That we would count again, but without a bracha, just in case. Now Rabbi Yaakov Emden says it depends. There's a difference between saying it's Lamed Gimel Ba'omer versus saying Lag Ba'omer. He says that if a person says, let's say, Lamed Gimel, where he says each letter separately, so then it could be that that's a normal way for people to count. As opposed to just saying Lag, meaning making a word out of it, so that's not a number. So he said that probably a person would not be Yotze. The Ragachavar also discusses this. The Ragachavar is Mechalik between over here where you need it, where there's a din of a minion, where Aleph Beis would not be good enough, where as opposed to, let's say, by Meiser Behema, where you count out by Meiser Behema, the animals are coming out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then the 10th one is labeled Meiser. So over there it's more just keeping track, it's not a din in the minion per se, so that you could do Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hei Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yud. You don't have to actually use numbers. You have to look at each case where we require counting, whether using the Aleph Beis would be good enough. So what about Paskal Halacha? The Gemara has two opinions over here in the Brisa as to how counting is supposed to work. Do you say the Minyan HaKlal first or the Minyan HaPrat first? So again, you think this doesn't apply La Halacha. This is very Nogea La Halacha for those of us who have to fill in Ksubas every once in a while, or for those who are in the business of filling in Gittin, even more important that you get everything exactly right in the get. So how do you count out the years in a Ksuba? When we're saying that it's that the year is 5,700, right? When we're counting out 74, when we're counting out the actual years, is it do you count it as 52 or 2 and 5, right? How do you count it out? So the Rama writes in Evan Ezer, the Rama in Evan Ezer in Kuf Chavav Sifay says that in the number of in the Minyan Chadashim, we first count the Prat and then the Meruba Echad V'Esrim, meaning when we're counting what day of the month it is, we would say Echad V'Esrim, not Esrim V'Echad, but by year years, we count the meruba v'achar kach as a prat. He says that the minig is that we switch it, which is a little bit odd because it sounds like from the Gemara that it was a minig hamakom thing. So we're saying, yeah, our minig hamakom is we split it. Pischei Tshuva says that from our sugya, it sounds not the way. Pischei Tshuva points out on the spot in Eben Ezer and Sivkot Nir in the name of the Get Pashut, not to split it. He says it seems not against the Ramah. So the Taz over there writes that in our Gemara it's a machlokas tanaim and the gedolim are machriya that when you count the years yimnas and meruba kodem and when you count the days it's the muat kodem. So the Magen Avraham in Tav Pei Tes says that by Sfiras Omer also you should count the muat kodem. You should count the smaller number first because that's the minig in our medinos. But again, this is more of a minig issue. It doesn't seem that any of this would actually be maaki lo pligi marki asrei. It's just a matter of minag. It doesn't seem that any of it would actually be ma'akev. Okay, so the Gemara says further. So now we said that now that we know that they're not arguing, to kuli al mamias hazar rishon atzricha minyan im kalachas v'achas. But everybody seems to agree that you have to keep on recounting that first hazaa. Meaning when you're doing the seven times downward, you keep on saying the achas again. Whether you say the achas first or you say it last, but you keep on going back to that first achas. So my taima, why do we do that? The Gemara has two possible reasons. Rabbi Lazar Amar shlo yita b'hazaos, that we don't want someone to make a mistake with these sprinklings. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar kra v'lefnei kaporis yazeh shein tam lomer yazeh. Why does the pasuk say that l'fnei kaporis? Why does it have to say that yazeh, that extra word? So limed al azar rishon shetzricha minyan im kolachas v'achas. That teaches us a gzeris hakasuv, not stam that a person shouldn't make a mistake. A gzeris hakasuv that you need to repeat that first counting with each of the subsequent countings. My benayhu, my nafkamina, whether you say like Rabbi Lazar that it's just that he shouldn't mess up, versus Rabbi Yochanan who says that it's gzeris hakasuv, ikar benayhu d'lo mana v'lo ta'a. What if the guy didn't count it out and he didn't make a mistake? He got it exactly right. He managed to keep in his head the one time up and the seven times down without repeating the one time up each time. Not so hard to imagine that he could do that without messing up. So according to Rabbi Lazar, fine. The whole thing was a gezeira that he might mess up. He didn't mess up. That's great. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a gezeira sakasuv. So not so fine. Question is, what exactly does that mean that it's not so fine? Well, if you didn't do it, so therefore what? You have to do the sprinkling again, or you just don't get the mitzvah of minui, meaning there is a separate mitzvah of actually counting. So I mean, it's ma'akev. If it says it in the pasuk, it's ma'akev. But what does ma'akev mean? So does ma'akev mean that? So Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and learns from the pasuk of Yazir, if you don't count it, so it's ma'akev. And because it says chuka and chuka is liikuva, so it sounds like that it's ma'akev the whole thing, the whole dam apar. Other rishonim say no, it's not it's ma'akev the minyan, it's ma'akev the concept that there's supposed to be a minyan going on. Now this may have enough kamina bismanazeh as well. Rav Zilberstein Chashuk Yechemet raises the shayla. Let's say you have a tzibur that's dechukim bisman, they're running late. It's Yom Kippur and the davening is running late. I remember in yeshiva we used to start davening when I was in Keren B'Yavna, like 6 in the morning or so, but they always had to rush through the end of Musaf in order to be able to have a 10 minute break or a 20 minute break during the day. Otherwise it just would have gone straight. They always had to rush through the end of, so you're running late, and where do we go the fastest? The Avoda. Just get through the Avoda, which is like the centerpiece, the focal point of the whole day, but we're always rushing through the Avoda. So what if you're running late? Can you skip out the Kacha Yamona? First of all, it would be a riot. I mean, people would, everyone likes that, you know. But can you skip through? What's the big deal? The whole point, according to Rabbi Lazar, is the achas, achas, the achas, just a shelo yita. We're not sprinkling any dam anyway, so you don't have to worry, shelo yita. So why do we have to actually count it out in the? But if you say like Rabbi Yochanan, that this is part of the avoda, that it's not just shelo yita, that this is a din in the Torah, it's part of the avoda. So maybe then it would be ma'akev. So he points out that Rav Yashiv writes in his Sefer of Ha'aros on our Masechta that the idea of counting. The Medrash says, we learn that from the Pasuk, because it says, from there, kaparis yaza sheva pa'amim. It doesn't say sheva tipim, it says sheva pa'amim yemona, that apparently there's a din in counting, and he says that din is daraisa. even according to Rabbi Elazar. All Rabbi Elazar is saying is that the repeating of the one, each time you're counting down seven times, that's Shelo Yita. But the idea that you have to count, the very notion of counting, that's certainly Midar Raisa. That, everyone agrees, is a din Dar Raisa. So he says, absolutely, you cannot skip it. It's a requirement Midar Raisa to do the counting. How we do the counting with repeating the one, that's the Machlokas in our Gemara. Why is it that there's such a din of the counting? So he suggests, maybe the reason the Torah is mitzvah us to do the counting of the Zos is based on Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. Mitochi basam lefanav mana osam. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael, how does he express that love? By counting Klal Yisrael. So he says, maybe it's Goliv Yadu of Nei Hashem Yisparach, that Klal Yisrael is being Mekayim the mitzvah of Hazaa Ba'ava, because the Dam Asar and Par is the Ikar of the Kapara. And that's what the whole Kapara of Yom HaKippurim is riding on this Dam. So therefore we're supposed to count Ba'ava, as our show of Avodas Hashem, Ba'ava. And that's why we sing it. Why, of all the things to sing, why would you sing that? It's just counting, Shelo Yita. We're just counting to make sure we get the number right. And in every shul, they sing the Achaz, Achaz, Achaz. Why are we singing that? But he says, maybe that's the whole reason we count it. We're counting so that we could show that we're doing it Ba'ava. So the way to do that is by singing it, so we show that we're doing it Ba'ava. So it was a very nice biur of every Minag Yisrael. You got to look at every Minag Yisrael has some meaning to it. It's not. It's never just stop. So that's the... The Rambam writes also in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tefillah, Umona kola brachos ad shemash l'meya b'chol yom, that a person should count the brachos, he says, every day until he gets to 100. So maybe that also, the takan of meya brachos, show our deep love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we want to bless him constantly, we want to bless him 100 times each day. So we want to show that we're doing it ba'ava, so we do it with counting. Now, counting is always a sign of extra love in both directions. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, it's a sign of love, and from us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also a sign of love. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar that it's just Shelo Yita? Do we paskin that it's an actual Gezeiras HaKasuf? So the Rambam in Avodas Yom HaKippur and Paragimel Halacha Hey paskins like Rabbi Elazar that you have to count Shelo Yita, that the whole purpose of the counting is that a person shouldn't mess up, he shouldn't make a mistake. Lecha Mishnah raises the question, why would he paskin like Lechumra? Why would he not paskin Lechumra like Rabbi Yehuda? Why would he paskin Lekul like Rabbi Elazar? We're dealing with Din Dar over here, so why don't we say Savik Dar Raisa L'chumra Yishe Paskin L'chumra? So they say that perhaps that he had some sort of indication from Yerushalmi to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar. There was something else going on that led the Rambam down the path to Paskin like Rabbi Elazar. All the Nosei Kelim and the Rambam discuss it. And the Chidushei Talmud Rashbi says no, we should Paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, and he's Matmi on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam Paskin like Rabbi Elazar? Especially since Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar, and in Alecha Ketalmid B'makom Rav, you should pass like the Rebbe, you shouldn't pass like the Talmud. The Ritva interestingly quotes from Yerushalmi a gear so that it's not Rabbi Elazar, that it's Rabbi Zeira. So that would solve the Talmud b'makom harav issue if you have that girsa. Okay, Tanan Asam, we're at the two dots on the bottom. Tanan Asam, it says in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Omer, lo yishofros l'kine chova mipnei atarovos. They wouldn't have shofros, they wouldn't have special boxes to put money in for kine chova, for birds that you have to bring, for chiyuv, only for kine nedava, only for voluntary karbanos, because they were worried about things getting mixed up. So my mibnei atarovos, what do you mean things getting mixed up? What's going to get mixed up? What are they worried about mixing up? So says Maram Rav Yosef, mibnei atarovos chova. I'm sorry, did I skip something? No, I didn't. Okay. So Amar Rav Yosef Mimrei Tarovus Chova Binadava. They were afraid of mixing up the money for Karbanos Chova with the money for Karbanos Nadava. Rashi explains, the chashash is that if they mix it up and they bring a Chova B'makom Nadava and a Nadava B'makom Chova, it's going to be possible because they have there's different ways that you bring the various Karbanos. Rabbeinu Eliyakim says a little differently, that the chashash is that the Karbanos Chova, the Kohanim were very zariz to bring that very day, so that that whoever was chayiv to bring the karban should be able to eat karbanos. They're not going to be mechusrei kapara. They'll have their karbanos brought, and then they'll be able to not be mechusrei kapara anymore. But karbanos nedava, they weren't as zaris to bring dafka on that day, because it could be brought tomorrow. Nothing's going to happen if it's brought tomorrow. So if they mix up the money, it could be mevi l'de takala, because people are going to eat kachim before they actually got their kapara, before the karban was actually brought for them. So that's the concern of tarovas chova benedava. Tos raises the kasha, why do we have to say that hisarvu chova benedava, even within chova atzma, within chova itself, if you mix up some money from chova from Rachel's karban with some of the money from Leah's karban, and you buy a kan with the combination of the money, so the whole thing's going to be puzzled. So why don't we say that's the problem? Even chova b'chova, forget about chova benedava, it would mess up the whole thing. So the Tosa says perhaps the way they would put their money in was they would wrap their money in a bag separately, meaning that you couldn't pull out some of Rachel's money and some of Leah's money. Each set of money was individually wrapped, which then begs the question, if it was individually wrapped, well, the Gemara will deal with on Amud Beis. Rishonim say, why don't they just label their names on it also? Because we're going to see that's also a concern, that we're not going to be able to identify whose money is whose. Tos also raises the question, why does the Mishnah say that there should be shofrim for kinei nedava and not for kinei chova? Because we're afraid of the taroves. So if we're afraid of taroves, that just means you should have shofaros of one kind. So if I have to do one kind, I would think kinei chova are more important. So shouldn't we have shofaros for the money for kinei chova and not for kinei nedava? So Tos gives several answers. Number one, he says kinei nedava, there was more money for kinei nedava, so it was more important to have boxes for that money because there was just more of it. Second of all, he says the kinei nedava, they were makrav bizman shemizbeach batel, whenever there was nothing going on in the mizbeach. When the mizbeach was not batel, they always had to guard over that money to make sure that money was protected. So they made for nedava these boxes so that there was a place to guard over that money when the mizbeach was busy. But the Sfas Emes suggests a different answer, that we're choshesh that if it was difficult to bring the money, you had to actually hand deliver it to a kohen, people aren't going to want to do it. So by kinei chova, you don't have a choice. You have to do it. So we're not worried about discouraging people from doing it. You got to find the kohen and you give it to him. By kinei nedava, it's more of a problem because someone will say, okay, so I won't volunteer a karban. I don't need to go through the tircha. A drop box. I just want somewhere to drop it off where I don't have to deal with people. I'll just leave it in a box somewhere. I don't have to find anybody. I don't have to have a conversation with anybody. Just leave it somewhere. So that's the svara, the Sfas Emes says. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Now, Amalei Abai, v'nevet why don't we just make two boxes and write on it which one is for chava, which one is nedava, and then nothing will get mixed up. So Rabbi Yehuda less like Siva. Rabbi Yehuda holds we don't rely on people writing things because people don't read signs. And the raya to that is from our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that there was only one stand to put the blood on in the Heichal, not two, not a stand, a separate stand for the Dama Par and a separate stand for the Dama Sar. Trey my time alone. Why don't we have two stands? Mishum de Michlef, because they might get mixed up. What do you mean, Mishum de Michlevi? Venev Trey, Velichta Velay, Hey the Par, Hey the Sar. Label them, put a sign on it, and everyone will know which one is from the Par, which one's for the Sar. El Rabbi Huda, less like Siva. You see, Rabbi Huda holds people don't read signs. So no matter how many times you leave instructions, it doesn't matter. No one is going to read it. Even the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is that we're going to see specifically the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim because he's tired and he's exhausted, but you can't trust that he's going to read the sign. So Meisvei, so the Gemara says, really, is that true that we assume that the Kohen Gadol is not going to read the signs, Rabbi Huda doesn't rely on Ksiva? So this question starts with the word Meisvei, we'll finish on Daf Nun Vav and Beis. So we're not going to get to the end of the question, but let's start the question. There were 13 shofaros where you drop off money in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were each labeled with these labels. What kind of money did you put in each one? Tiklin Chadtin Elishkalm Shal Kalashana Vashana. The one that's labeled Tiklin Chadtin, you put in the money for the Machsa Shekel for each year, for the new year. Tiklin Atikin, the one that's labeled Tiklin Atikin, Mishal Shakel Ishtakad Yishkal Lashana Abba. Whoever didn't do Machsa Shekel last year will put in for the next year. Kinin Hain Torin. Kinin is for Torin, to buy Torin. Gozle Ola Hain Bnei Yona. That's to buy Bnei Yona. Vikulan Ola, Stiv Rabbi Yehuda, and they're all Karbonos Ola. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Amri B'marava Gzeri Mishum Chatos Shemesu Ba'aleha. That the reason they're all Olos and none of them are Chatos is because we're afraid that the way Karbon Chatos were brought were just by leaving money in a box somewhere, and then that money would go to buy your carbon chatos. What's going to happen if the person who dropped that money in the box dies? You're not going to be able to bring a carbon chatos for a person who died. So says Gemara, why would we be concerned about such a thing that a person is just going to drop dead, pump then right after he drops the money in the box. If a person sends with a shaliach his carbon chatas from Medina Siyam, we don't have to worry that maybe that person is dead and therefore we can't bring the carbon chatas. You don't have to have such a concern that the guy is dead by the time you're bringing the carbon chatas. So why would you be concerned when he drops the money in the box that he's dead? No, it's not out of a concern that maybe the guy died. But what happens if the guy actually dies? Then what are we going to do? We can't identify which money is his, so we're going to be in trouble. We're not going to be able to bring the carbon. So says Gemara, simple eitzah. Take out any four zuz from the box, throw it in the water, that's for the guy who died, and everyone else is still good, and still bring the carbonus for everybody else. So Rabbi Yehuda, lesle breira. No, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of breira. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's not an option, because he does not think you could take out a random set of money and say that that's the money, huvar adavar lemafreya, that was the money that was designated for this dead person's carbon. He rejects the notion of breira. So the Gemara is going to ask how we know that he rejects the notion of breira. It's going to get into the whole sugya of breira, and through that conversation we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of ksiva. He doesn't hold of breira, but he does generally rely on ksiva, and that's going to be the conclusion of our question on Nun Vav and Beis. We'll continue with it tomorrow. Be'ezras Hashem. A good night.